What then if I am not being persecuted? The reward of those who are insulted, those who are persecuted, reviled, is great. Where does that leave us who are so blessed with the gifts of freedom and the privileges that we enjoy?
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And so, Colin, I think that brings out a natural question. If being persecuted leads to great reward, and I'm not being persecuted, but I want to be rewarded, should I go get myself persecuted?
You know, and that's a very easy thing to do, by the way. You know, be an obnoxious person and you will be persecuted.
Yes. Well, I could probably do that.
There's not much reward for that, for sure. Yeah, I think any of us can do that very, very easily indeed. You know, here's the truth, that faithful following after Christ will bring its own cost. And that's a principle that's everywhere in the Bible.
Well, it is, but then you posed another question just a moment ago. So where does that leave us if we're not experiencing great persecution?
And I think the answer to that is following after Christ will bring its cost. Hmm. Now, overt persecution may not be the best way to describe it, but there will be pressures that will come in every life of faithful obedience. Of course, one of the ways of avoiding that is wherever you come to trouble, you just move on, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's difficult in the church. I'll go get another church. Well, then you're not going to have much cost, but then you're not being very faithful at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're just moving away from the problem all the time. Whereas someone who is faithful to the calling of Christ and says, I'm going to endure in this problem, I'm going to stay with this difficult relationship. Well, now, then there's going to be a cost, and then there's going to be a reward.
Well, with that introduction, let's dive into today's message. We're taking a look at the second half of a message, What to Do When You're Not Being Persecuted. Here's Pastor Colin.
One of the easiest ways to avoid pain, difficulty, and opposition in life is simply to move on whenever it appears. And our culture makes it very easy for us to do that. Some Christians remain spiritual infants because they have formed the habit of always taking the easier path. One thing that our culture offers more than any other culture in the world is choice. And just look at the number of choices of toothpaste you've got in the grocery store. How do you get around the grocery store with these endless choices, you know? Choice of everything. And choice of doctors, choice of churches, choices, and so it goes on. Now, of course, this is a great blessing, but here's the problem that comes with it. Living in a choice culture, if I experience difficulty in one place, it becomes very easy for me to move to another. That is true with regards to our work. I can quit my work. I can go and find another place to work. In a culture that's geared to comfort and to convenience, it's easy to form the habit of always choosing the easiest path. And friends, let me use a phrase that is often heard in these wonderful suburbs where we live. I've got to do what's best for me and my family. Now, the problem with that is, because it's a very understandable phrase, I've certainly said it, and I'm sure every parent has. What's best for me and my family often turns out, actually, to mean what's easiest for me and my family. And the problem is that what's easiest for me and my family is not always what's best for me and for my family. I will tell you that the deepest impressions that have ever been made in my life by my own father were his tenacity in sticking at it through a period of unbearable difficulty in his work as a policeman. Shaped me. I'll tell you, the deepest impressions that I believe have been made in the lives of my own sons have come through the toughest things we have faced. And most of them are things that we could have avoided if we chose to, and were tempted to do so. Now, that raises another question, and here I want to share what I've learned from John Bunyan with you. Are there ever times when we should try to escape persecution? Is it sometimes the right thing to take the easier path? And if so, how would you know when it is the right time to do this? Now, these are the really, really practical questions. Going back to the personal example that I used this morning, when your kids experience opposition at school because they aren't Christians, should we have taken our son out of the program? That's the question, and that's a real, real question for many of you. Here you are, you may be in a situation where you are working in an environment that becomes very dark, very hostile, very hard. It's a grinding thing for you to go to work these days, and you find it extremely difficult. And the question is, well, now there is an easier route, and you could take it, and you could do something that's not going to be as hard as this. At what point should you make that choice? Should I stay or should I go? This applies in 1,000 examples of real choices that all of us are faced with often. And this is where I found such great help from John Bunyan. He wrote a book, it's quite long. It's called Seasonable Counsels or Advice for Sufferers. So here is the man who has gone to prison for 12 years. And he's done it because he's been preaching and he refuses not to preach at a time where it was against the law for him to do this. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to be out in the open air. He could still have been a faithful Christian, but he insisted on preaching, and so he was arrested. And let me just read you a couple of quotes here that you might enjoy. Try and picture this. Bunyan arrives. You know, he's been preaching the open air meeting. Out he goes. He arrives at the court. He's brought out before the judge, and he says, I quote, "I offered security, bail, to appear at the next session. But the judge threw me into jail because those who were ready to make up the bond for me would not agree to be bound that I would preach no more to the people." You see? Now you imagine it. John Bunyan's your pastor, and you say, well, let's have a whip round. We'll get bail for him. And then the judge says to you, now you realize that if he preaches, you'll lose your bail money. He's going to preach. Forget it. We're not doing bail for him. So they knew him well, and they were absolutely right. So off he goes to the jail, and when the time comes for his trial, you know, the judge actually said to Bunyan, if I let you go, will you commit not to preach? And Bunyan said to him, I mean, how's this for character? He said, if you let me go today, I'll be preaching tomorrow. So he went to prison for 12 years. Now, you might expect that a man with that kind of courage, writing from his cell, would call others always to take the hardest path. I mean, I'm trying to imagine myself in that situation. I'm in jail. You should all be in jail. I think the whole congregation should be in jail, actually. I mean, why should it just be me? You know, I think that's a confession. Sorry, it's Sunday evening, but when Bunyan writes, his counsel is wonderfully tender and spiritually wise, and I will go on using this. He notes what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." But you remember what he says yet next? "So be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." So Christ does not say, look, the world's going to tear you apart. That's what's meant by you're going out as sheep among wolves. That's what wolves do. They tear you apart. Jesus does not say the world is going to tear you apart, so go out and let them do it. Jesus says the wolves want to tear you apart, so you had better be as wise as serpents. From this, Bunyan concludes, and I quote, "A man is not bound by the law of the Lord to put himself into the mouth of his enemy. Christ withdrew himself. Paul escaped the governor's hands by being let down in a basket over the wall of the city. And Christ has said, If they persecute you in one city, flee to another. That's Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23. So what he is saying is that there is actually biblical warrant for taking an easier path. Paul came out of a city in which there was great violence, being led out of the city by a basket. He did that. It was not a time for him to lay down his life. The question then is, how do you know when you should stand? And how do you know when, to use Bunyan's word, you should fly? In other words, move to another situation, make a change. This is very practical. And this is what he says, quote, "You may do in this even as it is in your heart. If it is in your heart to fly, fly. If it is in your heart to stand, stand. Anything but a denial of the truth. He that flies has warrant to do so." In other words, the Bible gives you a basis for doing that. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23. "He that flies has warrant to do so, and he that stands has warrant to do so. In fact," he says, "the same man may at different times fly and stand, as the call and working of God in his heart may be." And he gives examples with scriptures that go with them. Moses fled. Moses stood. David fled. David stood. Jeremiah fled. Jeremiah stood. Christ withdrew himself. Christ stood. Paul fled. Paul stood. He concludes, "There are therefore few rules in this case. The man himself is best able to judge," and here's now the two criteria, "his present strength," the man himself is best able to judge his present strength, "and what weight this or that argument has upon his heart to stand or to fly." So here's our son in high school, and he's getting a rough time. And we're going to have to make a decision, stand or fly. Make a change, allow the situation for him to stand and support him in that. Which should we do? And Bunyan says there isn't a rule on that. Each person knows best in regards to their own heart. In other words, he says this is a matter of Christian liberty. That's huge in and of itself. But here's what you should look for. Each man knows in his own heart regarding his present strength. So in other words, you would look at, what effect is this having on your son? Is it causing him to rise? Is it tending to overwhelm him? And you'll make a decision in the light of that. And then the second criteria, what does he say? What weight this or that argument has upon his heart to stand or to fly, because you have biblical warrant for either in this situation. And what would that mean? It would mean, what does he really want to do? What does he really want to do? Now, isn't that just freeing biblical common sense wisdom? And to see that rooted in the scriptures has been immensely helpful. And he ends by saying this, "Only if you choose to fly, never fly out of slavish fear, but because of the ordinance of God." In other words, that God has given you a warrant to do this and to make a change and to do so thankfully and to do so with peace.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called What to Do When You're Not Being Persecuted. Hope you'll stay tuned, because we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. But if you ever miss a broadcast or part of one, you want to go back and listen to it again, you can do that by coming to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org, and there you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen for free through the Unlocking the Bible app, and you'll find that at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to that through our website, unlockingthebible.org. But no matter how you listen to the program, it's all made possible because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you with a book written by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. It's just our way of saying thanks for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, the website, it's unlockingthebible.org. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
what to do if you are not persecuted. We want to be so thankful for the gifts of God that have been trusted to our hands, do all that we can to protect them and indeed to defend them. We want to remember those who are persecuted and imprisoned. We want to make very sure that we are doing right and that the reason we're not experiencing difficulties isn't simply that we've hidden our light under a basket, as it were. We want to make sure that we are persevering and not simply always taking the easier route of avoidance. And here's the last: stretch yourself in costly obedience. In other words, friends, there is more than one way to live a costly life. Persecution imposes cost from the outside. But if God allows me the blessing of living with unusual peace and freedom, which He is giving us that blessing right now, then we can use that freedom to choose to live a costly life. There's more than one way of living a costly life. Persecution imposes it from the outside. But if Jesus Christ should give to us today in America the blessing of peace and of freedom that has been given to such a small percentage of our brothers and sisters in the entire history of the Christian faith, we could choose to use that freedom for the purpose of living a costly life for the sake of Christ. That is what Jesus Himself did. Remember how He says it. Nobody takes my life from me. I choose to lay it down. In other words, whatever happened with the guards and the folks who thought that they had power over Him, they did not have power over Him except that He gave Himself into their hands. Could have called 10,000 angels. No, I choose to lay it down. It comes from within. I'm the one who is laying down my life in this costly sacrifice out of love for the Father and for the gospel, for there to be a gospel that then can be taken to the world. Now, if no one takes my life from me, I want, at least in the presence of Jesus, to be able to say that I chose to lay it down at the feet of Jesus as a living sacrifice. That the life that was not taken, the life that is being given right now, is a life that is laid at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to be meeting the Savior, do you, on the last day, knowing that He gave everything for me and feeling that I actually gave relatively little for Him. So in the light of this theme, I want to respond to the blessings and the freedoms that I have by stretching myself in every way possible in costly obedience. And friends, I want us to be that kind of church. Right? What a travesty for those who are most blessed to end up doing least. What a tragedy that would be. And this is why I said this morning that fasting and giving and serving and risking are so important for our spiritual health. If others who are my brothers and sisters in Christ have their goods taken, their livelihoods removed, then I who have a salary can release a generous proportion of mine freely and lay it at the feet of Jesus. If others who are my brothers and sisters in Christ are in prison tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and I am free for these 5 days, I can offer every one of these 5 days and the freedom that I have in them with all the strength that God gives me to extend myself without complaint for the sake of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has given me so much more than I deserve. And if brothers and sisters in Christ, my brothers and sisters, some of them this week are exhausted with beatings and with torture. I can press through the tiredness and the discouragement that I often feel and find the strength to go on in what God has called me to do, and so can you. That's what I got to do when I'm not being persecuted. I end with this, and then we'll sing a song and we'll be gone. Joseph Parker, preacher in London over 100 years ago, spoke about the occasion when Thomas was doubting the reality of the risen Lord Jesus. And you remember what he said? Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand, I will not believe. And Joseph Parker said this: what Thomas said of Christ, the unbelieving world today is saying of the church. Unless we see the marks of the nail prints in your hands, we will not believe.
What a way to wrap up this message, what to do when you're not being persecuted, and to wrap up our series, Momentum, How to Make Progress in the Christian Life. You know, this has been a powerful 17-part series on the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. Just a great reminder from Pastor Colin that as we study the Beatitudes, we're not learning how to actually become a Christian. We're learning what a true Christian looks like. You see, Jesus was doing more than just describing a blessed life. In the Beatitudes, he's giving us a way to pursue it. That's why we've called this series, Momentum, How to Make Progress in Your Christian Life. Maybe you'd like to get a copy of the series for yourself to listen to again when you could use some encouragement, or to pass along to a friend or a family member who you think could really benefit from hearing this teaching. Well, ask about Momentum when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you, as our way of saying thanks, a copy of a book written by A.W. Tozer. It's called The Pursuit of God. And Colin, who would you say that this book is written for?
Oh, it's really for anyone who wants to know more of God. It really is. Anyone who has a real hunger and thirst in their own soul. And really, Tozer confronts us with this question. You know, how could it be that a person who claims to be a Christian actually doesn't have a hunger and thirst for God? How could that possibly be? I mean, to know God is to love him, and to come into a living relationship with him is to want to know him more. I mean, it's like a kind of wonderful cycle. The more you come to know of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you want to know of him. And Tozer really captures that. He has prayers at the end of each chapter in this gem of a little book. And he prays like this: you know, I'm thirsty, but I want to be more thirsty. I have a longing for you, God, but I'm ashamed that I don't long for you more. What I find in reading this book, and I've gone back to it time and again, Steve, is that it ignites in a fresh way a passion and a flame and a love for the Lord. It's renewing. And that's one of the reasons why my copy of this book is so well thumbed and so well. Oh, it's well worn and it's well marked up. And I will keep going back to it. And that's one of the reasons I'm thrilled to be able to offer it this month. This is a gem of a book, and you will come back to it often, and it will do you good.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book from A.W. Tozer. Again, it's called The Pursuit of God, Our Gift to You, our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or over the phone when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That phone number is 1-866-865-6253. And again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a production of Unlocking the Bible Ministries.